it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, it is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Hope you're all having a great week. It is UFC 301 Fight Week. I can hear the anticipation amongst just the emojis and everything I see on Twitter. Everyone is so amped. They saw the fiery first face-off between Alexander Pantoja and Steve Ursig up on the mountaintop. The comments have been incredible after that face-off. So yeah, that event is absolutely happening this week, for sure. In addition, this past Saturday was absolutely insane. We had the UFC. They were doing UFC things. They were back at the world's most famous Apex. It was about as second fiddle as the UFC could possibly be on a weekend, because BKFC just stole the weekend. They stole the week. They stole Saturday. They stole Sunday. It was all about BKFC. It was all about Knuckle Mania. Mike Perry just iced out Thiago Alves very quickly, did in 60 seconds. Lorenzo Hunt tried to become a three-division champion, fell short. Ben Rothwell just kind of destroys Todd Duffy, who got hurt in the fight. And then we found out freaking Conor McGregor is a now part owner of BKFC. Like, it was just the best. BKFC just knows who they are, and they double down on that. It's incredible how well they did on Saturday. It's incredible how well they do in general. And now with Conor in the mix, Jesus, they are in a very, very good spot right now. Yeah, Conor and Mike Perry and some of the other names. They need to get a few more names, that's for sure. But boy, are they in a great spot. Knuckle Mania ruled. It was incredibly fun to watch. And when BKFC does it big, they do it really big. It seemed like usually with like UFC pay-per-views outside of 300 or even like the fight night events that have like a 10 p.m. main card, when you get to like 12, 1230, you feel like you've been watching fights for 19 hours. But with BKFC, like, It was like 1 a.m., just short of 1 a.m. when that card ended, and it didn't feel like it. It just went by so quick. It was awesome. A-plus night for BKFC. Solid night for the UFC. Wasn't great. It's not a card we're going to ever go back and watch again. Alex Perez, great bounce-back performance. He needed it. Bogdan Guskov was the MVP of the card, in my opinion, with the mic skills and the fight skills. Karina Silva wins again. She is fun to watch. Jonata Deniz with a nasty knockout of Austin Lane. Good win for David Onama, but he missed weight. Juros Medic, nasty uppercut. Knockout of Tim Means. Victor Henry gets the finish of Hani Yahya. And then other things happened. Shout out to Casey Lydon's teammate, Chris Padilla. Short notice, submission win. Didn't get a bonus, which I thought was a bunch of BS. But it was, I mean, this played out pretty much how you expected it on Saturday, outside of like a couple of upsets. Just wasn't great. and it's not one we'll go back and ever watch again. But good win for Alex Perez, and there you go. Now it's on to UFC 301, and then we're going to St. Louis, and then we'll be back at the Apex again. So get excited for that on the road to UFC 302. All right, let's get to the calls. Let's get to you all, and we'll begin with Four Corner Sports. Go ahead, Four Corner Sports.
Hey, Mike. So I don't know. I felt like I wasn't expecting for the fight to finish that quickly. It was good game planning by Alex Perez. I saw that Big Marcel announced that, I don't know if it's official on MMA Fighting, but that Alex Perez is going to be fighting Tagir Ulanbekov. It seems like he's going to be taking what, like that Kevin Holland approach that he did in 2020, you know, just take fights every other month. I don't know if somebody, you know, went into his ear and told him that, hey, you know, you weren't active for so long. It would be in your best interest to fight as much as you can. Because I felt like if he would have lost against Mateus Nicolau, I felt like the UFC would have given him his walking papers for inactivity, pulling out on fights, which I know they don't really like. And then also, last time he ended up winning was during the pandemic, during the, I think that was the Amanda Nunes, Felicia Spencer headliner. I think that was like UFC 250 or something like that. I just want to know, like, where do you think he goes from here if he ends up getting a victory over Ulanbekov? And for 301, what are you giving it an odds that Vincenzo Ursic ends up pulling off the upset, just because, I don't know, the vibes are feeling like it's leaning towards Ursic, you know, pulling it off. I just think that the way that, you know, these three, I know that he hasn't fought the caliber of Pantoja, but I don't know, just something just tells me that he's going to end up getting, you know, pulling off like some type of highlight reel. All right, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man. We haven't confirmed the Perez fight, but if Marcel's reporting it, I assume it came right from Perez's team. It's typically how it works. If you go through Marcel's history of breaking fights, a lot of them come from the same team, at least one side of it anyways. So if Marcel's reporting Alex Perez is fighting anybody, I would believe it. But we haven't fully confirmed that yet. It's a little too early to even reach out to anybody to confirm that news. But I assume that that's the case, and fine. I mean, it didn't really do much for me. But this is kind of like the fight he was going to get. He wasn't going to get anyone in the top five. He wasn't going to get probably anybody in the top 10, if we're being honest. I don't even know where Ulanbekov is ranked in the UFC rankings. He's 12. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I would have put him in terms of his next fight. I know Perez is ranked 5, but like the matchup I had chosen for him was the winner of the Tetsuro Taira Josh Van fight. Like, I feel like it's a good win over Mateus Nicolau. Very good. Needed it. It saved his UFC career, that's for sure. I don't think it like would have ended his MMA career, because someone would have snatched him up, because he does have a name, and like PFL would have picked his ass up in a second. But yeah, keeps him in the mix, but he has to sort of defend his spot right now. That's where he's going to be. How long that lasts? Maybe another fight? I mean, he's probably going to be in the spot for this fight and maybe one more. So he still might have to fight the winner of Tyra and Van after this. Or he just kind of Kevin Hollins it and just fights 6 times this year, which never hurts when you do that. That's how you get over, especially in the UFC. So it was a good win for him. You know, he needed it. I like Alex a lot. I've been interviewing him for a long time. He's, you know, he needed that one real bad. So it's hard to not be happy for him. That's for sure. And then on 301, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have a bet on Vinny Siggs on Saturday. I don't even know if I believe he's going to win, but it's just all vibes. And it's just a gimmick at this point. Like, what a free, like, it would just be one of the funniest things that has ever happened if Vincenzo Urzig, a la Vinny Siggs, just goes in like as the 10th ranked guy in his fourth UFC fight and becomes a UFC champion before Bilal Muhammad ever fights for a title. Like, it would just be insane. It would just be nuts and kind of hilarious. No disrespect to anybody. It's just the story and the vibes of it all would just be very funny. And I think Vinny Siggs has a chance. I mean, people think I'm crazy because of how good Pantoja is. If Vinny Siggs can keep this on the feet, he has a damn good chance to win this fight. He's got that life fight-changing power, man. All he needs is one. His boxing is so good. He's going to be the better striker than Pantoja. Pantoja's the better mixed martial artist, no doubt about it. But if this becomes a striking affair and Ursae can stay on his feet, he's got a real good shot at winning this fight. So I'm waiting for a prop to drop for Ursae by knockout. Hasn't dropped yet on DraftKings, but I can assure you come Saturday when I'm in New York for the 301 watch party, there will be a bet on young Vincenzo Ursae to become the flyweight champion. It's probably going to be a dumb bet, but I don't care. I don't care. Jed Meshew put this Vinny Siggs out into the universe, and as a team, as a website, we are going to collectively just go all in with our friend Jed Meshew. So, yeah, I think Vinny Siggs is a shot. If this is a stand-up fight, he's got a real good shot. Riley, go ahead.
You, what do you think of the Michelle Pereira fight? And if he wins, do you think, or like if he really just runs through Potiera like he has his last two opponents, I think at 185, I think this is his third fight at 185. Do you think he deserves a top 15 matchup? I know that he was fighting Muradov before this fight and he pulled out. I'm not sure if he's in the top 15. I don't think he is, but do you think he deserves to fight a top 15 fighter if he runs through him? I think he looks incredible at 185, and his only two losses in the UFC are is the DQ versus Diego Sanchez, and then he lost versus Conley when he gassed out. So I feel like he's a really good prospect, and I'm excited to keep seeing what he does. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he's been at this thing for a hot minute. When did he freaking debut? I mean, it was a while ago. He made his UFC debut in 2019. So this is year number 5 for Michel Pereira. He did lose to Tristan Connolly. And I mean, he on like record lost to Diego Sanchez, but I think anybody who watched that fight understands what actually happened there. Although, and I stand by this, Diego made 100% the right decision. Just a veteran savvy move, and he gets a win. Even though he got run out of the building in that entire fight. He had nothing for Michel Pereira, but don't break the rules. Don't land illegal knees. If you land an illegal knee, you lose. And that's it. It's crazy. Like, the amount of shit, like, Michel, it was just a weird situation, but Michel Pereira deserved that win. He beat the hell out of Diego Sanchez, but yeah, I like him at 185 a lot more, and he could probably thank Wonderboy for that, because if Wonderboy had taken that fight with Michel Pereira, Pereira probably would have tried to stay at 170, so he could thank Wonderboy for that. But since then, first-round finish of Andre Petroski, first-round finish of Mikhail Oleksaychuk. And now he gets Ihor Potieria, and I'll tell you what, after what good old Ihor did to Shogun in Shogun's retirement fight, Michel Pereira goes out there and does work, he's going to look like a freaking star. So, yeah, does he get a top 15 guy? Maybe. It's kind of it's an interesting division, but who knows? If he makes quick work, Fluffy Hernandez is out of the fight with Roman Dolidze, and from conversations I've had, and even from his Instagram post, he wants to come back later on this summer. Maybe we do Michel Pereira versus Fluffy Hernandez. Is anyone going to be upset about that fight? I don't think so. That'd be a damn good one. Man, that Fluffy Hernandez news was tough. It was tough.
Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, fixer, and friend, testified this week in Manhattan.
Todd Blanche is upset because he knows that he looks like a fool right now representing Donald Trump. It is the stupidest opening to a cross-examination I have ever heard, and I have heard a lot of stupid stuff.
I'm Preet Bharara, and this week, Katie Fang, host of MSNBC's The Katie Fang Show, joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet, to talk about the latest court news from Trump's trial. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway.
And I'm Ed Elson.
And we're the hosts, the co-hosts. It's kind of unfair to call us co-hosts. I'm really the host. He's my Robin Givens. Let's just be clear on what this is. But anyways, we're the hosts of Prop G Markets, your go-to podcast for all things money. Every Monday, we provide brash, unfiltered analysis on market-moving news, high-flying stocks, growing sectors, stupid boardroom decisions, and master of the universe CEOs.
And on Thursdays, we speak with some of the world's greatest finance professors, Wall Street insiders, and industry experts to keep you informed without getting bored. So if you want to understand money and how you can get more of it, you have to talk about money, and we're here to help you do that. Follow Prof G Markets on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts to automatically receive new episodes every Monday and every Thursday.
That's right. The good news is we know how to get you economic security. The bad news is the answer is slowly. We'll tell you how on Prop G Markets.
Adi, go ahead. Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, I don't want to bring down the mood of this session, but thoughts and prayers go out to Francis Ngannou. And what pisses me off is there are a couple of trolls on Twitter. It's like they're just making light of the situation. And this is where I don't know, like I sent out a tweet to Aaron Bronstetter the other day. He said he wouldn't comment on it because he doesn't watch them. But there are a few of these content creators, like, you know, the MMA guru, there's these people like, you know, just trolls, you know, like who just want to shit on fighters, like who, rather than being critical of fighters like you are, like when you say Aljamain Sterling just can't get it right on the mic or Bilal Muhammad just doesn't do the thing, or like, while you are in a way, you know, making it a bit humorous, making it a bit, you know, lighthearted, you're still being critical. But these people just, you know, they just come up with vile and toxic stuff, man. Like, I remember this video where MMA guru was like, oh, I hope Mirab Davalishvili, you know, he gets paralyzed. And then, I don't know, someone posted the image of Daniel Cormier and Francis Ngannou side by side saying who did it better. I mean, referring to something, you know, I don't even want to get into that. So here's the thing, like, we do have to ignore such people, but shouldn't they have any repercussions? I'm pretty sure they don't, but it just pisses me off, Mike. Quickly switching gears, is this Jose Aldo's last fight on the contract with the UFC? Is that why he's coming back to honor his contract? If that is the case, why is he returning at bantamweight? He could have done it at featherweight, right? I mean, is he going to stick around, you think? That's what I have, Mike. And my sincere condolences to Francis Ngannou. It's good to talk to you again. And, last but not the least, I'm not sure if I'll make it to Free For All Friday, but if I do, I'll talk about it over there as well. I'm running a 10K this Sunday, and I've raised about 70 pounds, 70 Great Britain pounds, for cancer research. So it's going to be my first ever marathon, Mike. So wish me luck. Speak to you soon.
Hey, good luck to you, my man. That's really good. Really good stuff. Oh man, the Francis, that shit just broke my heart. Like, honestly, just it ruined my entire day yesterday. because I just couldn't get Francis out of my mind. Just I could not. I just can't imagine like what he is going through right now. It just wrecked me. And obviously, like I got good relationships with a lot of guys on his team who are very close with Francis, and you know, obviously knew Francis's child and everything. And just like, man, it's just awful. And anyone making light about of this whole situation, like, go fuck yourself. Honestly, I got no time for you, and I'm not even gonna bring it up. Like, I saw some people like making videos about it. That's great, but don't even give them any attention. Like, don't give them any attention. Like, if you're using this platform and you bought the blue check mark and you just post shit like that just so you can make money, like, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like, you just are. So I got no time for you, and like, go fuck yourself, honestly. The guru stuff, like, again, you know, the dude has busted his ass and he's gone from nothing to something. So you got to give him credit for that. And, you know, I don't agree with some of the things he says and some of the videos he makes, but a lot of people watch his shit. Like, what, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. People watch it. Dude's putting numbers up like crazy. And if you don't like it, like, you have a choice to make. You could just not watch it. I mean, that's really it when it comes to that stuff. But, you know, I don't think he said anything about Francis, but, you know, one of the accounts did. And you mentioned the Daniel Cormier thing. Like, what a fucking asshole. Like, just awful, awful, awful shit. The Jose Aldo thing. It is his last fight on his deal. Why at bantamweight? Because the UFC was probably – because Jose Aldo's team – so I talked about this as soon as his fight was announced, because I knew that there were talks about him fighting on this card, and we just didn't know who it was. I know there were rumors about Dominic Cruz. I know Dominic Cruz was an option. Just didn't – it never really got over the finish line, even though, like, some people were reporting that it did. And early on, like, Jose Aldo thought, like, when this whole thing happened that he might be fighting Dominic Cruz. But, again, from the conversations I had – it never really got as far as like those reports. And even Jose Aldo has made it seem, again, from sources. But now he's fighting Jonathan Martinez. And I think this is just kind of like, yeah, Jose, you can come fight. Like, this is a scratch. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. You fight in Rio, because this card is a big stinkeroo in terms of business and selling tickets and pay-per-view buys. And you got to do it at 135, and you got to fight this dude that's looked really good. Let's see what he's made of. And for Jose, it's like, okay, bet. I'll do that. And you asked, does this mean he's going to be sticking around? I don't think he's going to be sticking around. I think he's going to do this fight. He's going to get the fuck out. He's had boxing fights. He's been able to do some other things. But after this fight, he's had to get permission from the UFC in order to do those things. So once he fights this fight out, there might be like a matching period where he can't, like, or some sort of non-compete. I'm not really sure. But once that's over, he can fight for anybody. He can go to PFL. He can go to freaking Ryzen. He can go to BKFC. He can go wherever the fuck he wants. And that's most of the reason why he is taking this fight. Because then he can be a legit, unequivocal free agent. Like, he can't go sign with PFL right now. I don't know why he would, unless they're just going to pay him buco dollars. He can't really do anything without getting the UFC's permission. So this is what he needs to do to get free and clear of the UFC. And, you know, if he thumps up Jonathan Martinez proper and they say, like, hey, how about you go fight for the belts against Sean O'Malley? Then maybe he sticks around. But I kind of feel like he's going to beat feet after this fight. So, I will also have a bet on Jose Aldo on this card because he is an underdog. I already placed that bet. It's the only bet I've actually made thus far. Plus 136 I got Jose Aldo at earlier today. I feel like he's going to win. Would I be like completely stunned if Jonathan Martinez won? No, but It's Jose Aldo, man. In Rio, you can't bet against Jose Aldo Rio, especially if you're getting plus money. Come on now. Come on. Let's go to David. David, do we have you?
Michael Eck.
What's up, man?
Great to be on Hoem with you, buddy. All right, Jonathan Brito, decent-sized favorite this weekend for sure. Line feels a bit off. It's an interesting fight. Brito's dangerous, and I know Jack cheated in darts versus Helwani, but I think he might be able to squeak out the decision win for the Welsh in that one. Mythical Fighter of the Week, Young Hungry T-Wood that knocked out Robbie Lawler at 201 with a bomb from hell. MMA Mailman out.
Yeah, I like it. Look, I honestly don't think 301 is like a awful card, but this is what UFC St. Louis should look like. This is what UFC St. Louis should look like. This card, any roadshow card, like at a big arena, this is what it should look like. 100%. Like decent fights. Not a ton of star power. Like if this is a fight night card, I'd be fucking stoked. I would be stoked. I'd be putting this card over like crazy if this is next Saturday. But it's not. It's $80. You get to spend $80 to watch this. BKFC is going to be 50 million times better than this card. Knuckle Mania is going to be 50 million times more exciting than this card. And that was $30. And you're getting a lot more fights. This is $80, and it's not great. It's not great. There are a couple fights that I absolutely love. Like, I am intrigued by the main event, for sure, mostly for the Ursae side. It's Jose Aldo, and that's cool. But he's fighting Jonathan Martinez, and that's just like, it's just a fight. There's no real stakes to it. Like, it's a good win for Jonathan Martinez, but this is a bantamweight fight. This is the bantamweight division. Even if he beats Jose Aldo, it's not like he's getting a title shot. He's still so far behind a ton of other guys. It puts him in probably in like the top six or seven, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything in the UFC. Unless he cuts a scathing promo and slaps Sean O'Malley across the face, like, he doesn't gain anything other than a higher number and a damn good name on the resume. Like Anthony Smith, Vitor Petrino. It's just kind of think we know how that fight's going to go. Pereira, Igor Potieria, Caio Baraglio, and Paul Craig. If there is a bet on who is going to have the worst call out of the night, it's Caio Baraglio. It's probably like minus 900. He's going to do something silly and weird and, I mean, play the gimmick, my man, but it's just not going to work out for you. The Short Brito fight is a good one. I don't think the line's, like, too bad. And as good as that fight is, it just pales, I tell you, in comparison to the heck of a main event for UFC 301. It is on the prelims, and it is in the best division in the sport, 155 pounds. The true and utter who is more for real fight, if there ever was one. 26-year-old absolute savages getting ready to battle it out. Elvis Brenner versus Mick Tebek Oralbai. Good freaking googly moogly. That fight is going to rule. So excited for that one. That to me is like outside of the main event and just to see what Jose Aldo looks like. That's number three on my list. That's it. That's the one. Cannot wait for it. It's going to be an absolute banger. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, heck of a morning.
You too, man.
So I just had maybe like two quick questions. One, what do you think the end game is for the BMF title? And two, do you think there's any chance that UFC would book O'Malley versus Marab during International Fight Week whenever Conor comes back? Yeah, that's my two questions. Have a good rest of your day.
What's the end game for the BMF title? It's just kind of what it is now. It's just going to be shit, man. We got a fight. We got a pay-per-view coming up in 2 months. We don't have a main event. Yo, Max, could you put your BMF title on line against somebody? Cool. It's just there, and it's just like it's a contingency plan, more or less. But, you know, I've come around on a little bit more just because, like, we're seeing it defended. And I think it's at least cool, and we know that when we book BMF fights, like, it's going to be – like, they're going to be chaos fights. Justin Gaethje versus Dustin Poirier. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. Like, Max Holloway versus Charles Oliveira would be a sick BMF title fight. Like, I don't think that's just going to happen, but let's just say something weird happens. Let's say, you know, I don't know, September rolls around. They don't have a main event for – well, that's the Sphere, so they'll have a main event. But, like, I don't know. Something comes up and they need a main event and all the champions are booked. Give Max a call. Because I don't know what he's going to do right now. There's, I don't know. Joe Rogan was saying something about Volkanovski turning down Ilya turning down Volk for Perth. And I saw like DC made a video about that as well. I don't know if that's true or not. I've reached out to both camps. I haven't heard anything back as this is this morning when I saw all this, but like, I don't actually hate Topuria turning that down for that specific card. Cause why should he as the champion go and give Volk any sort of advantage at all by traveling all the way to Perth to have his first title defense? Just depends on how you're looking at it. If he gets like a piece of the gate, I think he's insane. I think he's an insane person for not doing it. Because that place gets sold in 5 seconds if they book that fight. And that's probably going to do pretty well on pay-per-view. So we'll see what happens there. I think he said something about Ortega. He'll fight Max Holloway. Someone posted a video like he'll fight Holloway only if the BMF title's on the line. Like, if these are things that he's actually saying and actually doing, then I have to question it a little bit. Because what are you trying to do? Like, he has the opportunity to become one of the sport's biggest stars. But he has to fight, and he has to do it frequently. And he has to keep delivering big performances against big names. So we'll see what happens with all that. Could they do Sean O'Malley Marab International Fight Week? No. Because that'd be, I'm not going to say it's dumb. It'd be great for the fans who are going to spending upwards of $12,000 to go to that card. But they don't need to do that. Sean's a main event guy. Like, that fight could headline a pay-per-view. So they don't need to, as long as Connor is fighting on that card, there's no need to put any kind of title fight on there. You got Khalil Roundtree and Jamal Hill. Good damn fight. That's pretty intriguing matchup right there. We'll see what the rest of the card sort of looks like. Typical Connor cards are not, it's like Connor and then a whole bunch of nothing. Or just, you know, kind of what you're getting for 301 with Connor at the top. So hopefully they build it out a little bit better, but there won't be any title fights. Could we maybe get Ian Gary, Colby Covington, perhaps? Doesn't seem like that fight's coming together right now, but who knows? But no, I'd be stunned to see Holloway Marab. Not Holloway, Jesus Christ. O'Malley Marab on that card, especially if Connor's fighting on. Now if Connor gets hurt, Chandler gets dinged up, the fight falls apart, can't happen. Maybe they give O'Malley a call to try to save the day, but yeah, I don't think so. Don't need to. Those guys can headline their own card. There you go. Let's see what else is going on in the wonderful world of mixed martial arts. Not a lot. Tom Aspinall in the news jumped on YouTube and did a 60-second video answering a fan's question about the UFC 304 start time, how they're catering to the American fans as opposed to the UK fans. And I can tell you as an American fan, I'm not happy about the start time either. And they're catering to me. I hate it. I hate it. I was so excited they were going to Manchester because it was like, yes, now we're going to get an afternoon card. But no, they're not doing that. I don't get it. Here's what Tom Aspinall had to say. Well, as an athlete, as a fighter, in all honesty, it doesn't make that much difference. Probably for a couple of weeks before I'll have to wake up and train at that time or stay up or whatever. I've flown across the world multiple times and fought on different time zones, so it's not as bad as that. As a fan who wants to watch it live, I think it is absolutely terrible. I think, yeah, it's just not fair on the fans, not fair on the UK fans. Obviously, it's predominantly an American audience, so I understand that they want to sell to them. But why can't they sell to them in the afternoon? Great question, Tom, which is our evening time. Why can't the Americans watch it in the afternoon? Again, great question. We can, and we would love to. We would love to. And the UK fans, the Manchester fans, the European fans could all fly to this event, sell at this new arena. I mean, it's going to sell it regardless, mate. We're very, 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 very lucky to have a pay-per-view event in Manchester. Very lucky. But UK MMA, let's put it on UK time. Well said by the interim heavyweight champion. And maybe, like, Leon Edwards can come out and say the same thing. Like, what are we doing here? Why does it have to be that way? I don't get it. The last time you were in the UK for a pay-per-view, it was an afternoon card, and it was glorious. Why do we have to do this? Why do Americans have to watch Leon Edwards Bilal Muhammad at like 1 a.m.? I mean, that's like, it's almost punishment. I kid, hopefully. But I have no problem with what Tom is saying here. And I do feel bad for the UK fans. Like, they don't want to watch. I mean, by the time Tom Aspinall fights whoever he's going to fight, it's going to be like 5 in the morning. That's craziness. They could absolutely do this in the afternoon, and it would not hurt them in any way. The event will sell out even faster. They'll put a big gate together. And I honestly think it's going to do better on pay-per-view. So, yeah, completely agree with Tommy Aspinall here, and there you go. Four on Cypher, if you want to try again, maybe it'll work. But it did not. It did not earlier. What else is happening in the world? Yes, a lot of people are commenting about Alex Perez and the quick turnaround. Because I've known Jimmy for a little bit. It's not something he typically does, just kind of putting people on blast like that, especially out in public like that. It's not really his forte, so something really got him pissed off if he's going to come out and kind of trash Ronda like that. That was pretty interesting. What are the rankings looking like? We saw Alex Perez jump up to number 5. Nicolau dropped to number 8. No big shocker there. Bantamweight. Jonathan Martinez got bumped up to 12 for not fighting. Mario Bautista got knocked down to 13 for not fighting. Ricky Simon goes up a spot for not fighting. And Pedro Munhoz drops a spot for, guess what, not fighting. Rankings are super weird. And Dominic Cruz is still ranked number 11. Dominic Cruz still ranked number 11 at 135 pounds, spot, despite not fighting for quite some time. Any other weird rankings? Look at Bogdan Guskov as a ranked UFC fighter. This is incredible. What a story. Now ranked number 12. What a time. Karina Silva goes up a spot to number 12 at women's 125. There you go. Okay. Talk about Marty's hairline. We already touched on that, and I ain't giving that dude any time. Fuck that dude. For its ever. I have terrible connection, but is Ismael Bonfim getting the perfect comeback fight for his situation against a 41-year-old coming off of a 2-year layoff in Vince Michelle? Perfect? I don't like Vince is a dog, man. Vince is a dog. He's a big underdog in this fight. But Vince is tough, man. Even at 41, he's a tough out. So I don't know if perfect's like the right word, but be a good test. Like we'll learn a little bit more about Bonfim here, because if he doesn't get Vince out of there early, he's gonna be in for a tough ass fight. Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while, but like, look at the guys he's lost to. On the tough finale, he lost to Rustam Khabilov, which at the time was like not all that surprising. He got submitted by Gregor Gillespie, and he got decisioned by Mark Madsen at UFC 273. I was at that fight. Not a good one. And it wasn't Vince Michel's fault, if you catch my drift. But I mean, look, he's got some good wins. Anthony Njokuani, Damian Brown, Joaquim Silva, Roosevelt Roberts, Jim Miller, Austin Hubbard. Like, I ain't counting Vince Michel out at all. So I don't think it's a perfect one. I think it's a good one. I think like any fight to try to bounce back from a loss like that is fine, but yeah, I don't. Perfect is, I would not say that. Riley, is Karina Silva going to be champ? I don't know. I'm not there yet. I don't like view her as like, okay, she's definitely going to win the belt, but I'm also not at a point with her where it's just like, yeah, she's never going to fight for a belt. She's good. She's good, and I think she needed that fight on Saturday. I think she needed that exact fight. I saw a lot of people be like, throw her in there with Natty Ice. No. No, that's a bad idea. I don't want to see that. Let her fight a vet. Let Natty Ice fight a vet. And when those two actually fight, let's make it as big as it possibly can be. All right, we'll take two more. Abzwalia will kick us off, and then we're going to go.
So, Mike, heck of a morning. Hope you're having a good day, man. I just have a few questions. Firstly, I want to ask you, with the month of June coming up for UFC, I would argue in terms of the fights that we're getting for that month, would you say this might be the greatest June? I don't know how to phrase this question, but basically this particular month of June that we're going to get this year, do you think this is the best best UFC year that they've ever had at this particular month, in terms of stacking up cards and, you know, making some interesting fights that the fans would like to see, or, you know, will be really fun to watch? And another question I have is about this upcoming Saturday's card. If Jose Aldo wins and Borrello wins, what do you think will be next for them? Assuming with Aldo, he does decide to still stay in the UFC after this. That's all. I have a great day.
All right, sorry about that. I think win, lose, or draw, unless Jose Aldo is guaranteed a title shot and signs a contract immediately, moments after, and he has gotten 100% assurance that Sean O'Malley is going to do the same, he's gone. Jose Aldo can make way more money outside the UFC. He can go fight for – he can go to BKFC and make way more money. He can go to Game Bread MMA and make way more money. Go to PFL and probably make way more money. He can go box and make way more money. Like, Jose just wants out. Like, that's why he's fighting. He doesn't want any ties whatsoever. He just wants to be free as a bird. And the only way for that to happen is he's got to fight out the rest of his deal. Because if he wants to even box anybody, he has to get the UFC's permission. And that just seems annoying. So he's just going to go fight Jonathan Martinez, and then he's going to ride off into the sunset. That would be my guess. And he's going to go make whole bag of money elsewhere. The other question, is this like the best year at this point in terms for giving fans what they want and stack cards? Fuck no. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. Why? Look at Saturday. Look at 297. Look at everything else we've gotten this year outside of 298, 299, and 300. Just look at it. Look at the slate. It's been tough. It has been tough. 300 was like the ultimate palate cleanse. And what made 300 was incredible. So I ain't taking anything away from 300. And we told you the entire time it was going to be incredible. That it was the best card they ever put together. Top to bottom, like matchup for matchup, there's never been a card better than 300 on paper, in my humble opinion. But it also came at a time where they have just given us dog shit most of the time. And like, it just couldn't happen soon enough. And it came and it delivered and it was awesome. And then we go back to the apex. And now we have this pay-per-view. Like, come on, man. 2016. Like, nothing is ever going to be 2016. It's never, ever going to be 2016. 2016 is the best year in the history of the sport. It's the biggest year in the history of the sport. And it's never going to get better than that. It's never, never, ever, ever. Just everything that happened. So, no, it's not close. It's not close. It's just too many. It's too many events. There's no stars. Like, the UFC is on fire. And that's great. Like, they're doing good. They're doing really good business, sure. But, I mean, look, like, the St. Louis card. Like, I went to a fight. I went to two fight night cards in Boston. Three of them. One of them is headlined by Conor McGregor. One was headlined, and this is a fight night. One of them was headlined by TJ Dillashaw versus Dominic Cruz for the Bantamweight title. Like, those were fight night cards. We're getting title fights on fight night cards. Now we're getting Alex Perez versus Mateus Nicolau in an empty warehouse. No. No, 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 no. And we'll see what the new TV deal brings. Maybe that'll all change, but not expecting it to. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if we got like less of a break between cards. Sternish Slager, go ahead.
Hello. Who deserves a title shot at middleweight next? I mean, we have Israel Adesanya on the sidelines. Likely is going to get a title shot because it's Israel Adesanya, but the UFC have made a weird decision to put Paulo Costa against the number one contender and Rob against Hamza, which is like, I think he's around number 10. After, I'm assuming, Izzy and DDP go at it. Who's next for the title? Thank you.
Don't know. Depends on who wins the title fight. And look, if Hamza wins in any way, he's getting it. Like, he's getting it. Even though it's tough, because we just don't know what's going on with his travel issues and everything going on. We know something's going on. We just don't know exactly what that is. It's got to be Khamzat. If Khamzat Chimaev goes out there and rinses Robert Whittaker, you have to give it to him. Have to. Like, that's insane. That would be incredible. But that's what we're getting. And we're getting Sean Strickland versus Paulo Costa, which is a fine fight. I mean, what else could they have done? Once they booked Rob versus Khamzat, like, you had to do that fight, right? Like, does anybody want to watch Sean Strickland versus Jared Cannonier again? No. Like, those are the two of the bigger names in the division. So, yeah. I mean, it's five rounds. It's a big co-main event on a huge-ass card with two major stars at the top. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. And who knows? Paulo Costa could go out there and just beat the hell out of Sean Strickland. Like, we don't know. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll get through June. Again, Khamzat actually has to fight. And it's not easy to get him into the cage. But I think with it being in Saudi, it should happen. And Robert Whittaker's really good. So, I mean, the way Dana described it, not that it's etched in stone, because we've seen this before, but Dana said this is the number one contender fight. So the winner's getting a title shot. So I would say if Paulo Costa beats Sean Strickland and shit. Yeah, it's going to be tough because like they could sell all the, they could sell pretty much all of these fights with the exception of Izzy versus Costa. It's hard to sell a fight where it's so one-sided. I mean, Izzy obliterated Paulo Costa. There wasn't a second of that fight that was competitive. So that's a tough sell, and I think the UFC is probably aware of that, even though Paul is much more popular now than he was when they fought. But it's a tough sell. It's the reason why we never got the rematch between McGregor and Aldo. Like, come on. It's the reason why we never got, even though like they could have done Ben Askren and Jorge Masvidal again, like they could have just rebooked that if they wanted to down the line, and Askren would have taken it. But like, how? What motivates Masvidal to even want to take that fight? What would motivate Izzy to fight Costa again after he wrecked him? So, yeah, it's tough. But to me, my guess is, my guess is the Whitaker Khamzat way. If Khamzat wins, he's getting it for sure. He's getting it for sure. All right, last one. We'll go to Snorton.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I just want to say thank you for MMA Fighting for allowing me to speak. The middleweight division in UFC is pretty dense right now. You got Jared Cannonier, Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa. You got a lot of good fighters right now. Izzy is taking a long break, which he deserves. He's cleared out the division, coming off a loss of Sean Strickland. Right now, it's a little bit mixed. You got Drickers, who's the champion. It's a little bit weird at the moment with Drickers being the champion. And, you know, you got Robert Whittaker coming off a win from Paulo Costa. So it's a little bit mixed at the moment. I mean, yeah, it's a bit weird at the moment. So I don't know. Right now, I mean, Drickers, I don't know, like, it's a bit weird, but from my perspective, you know, you got to mix it up. You got Bo Nickel. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, have mixed feelings about Bo Nickel, but I reckon the UFC is going to try and fast track him to the title, which is completely understandable because they've done that with a few fighters, but you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. You know, you can't say what, you can't say who's who, but, you know, it's, they're trying to fast track him. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, to be honest. But look, at the end of the day, I'm just hoping for a good fight at the end of the day. I know I'm a little bit on the old little drink at the moment, but look, I'm just hoping. I know, yeah. All right, say what you want to say, but look, at the end of the day, yeah, Drickers being a champion, I mean, the most relevant to do is the rematch with Sean Strickland. Do it in Africa if you want, or do it on the 303, 304, wherever it is. but you also got Cannonier versus Strickland, which I know a lot of people don't want to see, but is a title contention. You got Robert Whittaker versus Khamzat Chimaev. Whoever wins with that is going to get the title shot. And after Drickers comes off his injury or he's postponing, whatnot, he's going to get that contender, whoever wins between Strickland and, not Strickland, sorry, Whittaker and Khamzat. So that's going to be a good fight. And you got Izzy, who's coming off a layoff. Izzy, who's laying off, which he rightly deserves because he's pretty much cleared out the division. Whoever's going to win against... Bobby Knuckles and Khamzat, who's going to get the title shot. I do hope it's Khamzat because I think Khamzat's going to bring a lot of, he's going to bring a mixed bag to DDP, and you know it's going to be a very good fight. But at the end of the day, you know, I just hope it's going to be a banger of a card. That's the end of the day. But look, you know I'm speaking off the piss, and you know. Is what it is. But at the end of the day, I'm just hoping for a good card. I know the middleweight division is a little bit of a mixed bag at the moment. You know, you've got Khamzat coming in hot. You've got DDP, who's a gatekeeper, say what it is, but he's number one contender. You've got, you know, a lot of people in the middleweight division. But yeah, I'm just, you know, hoping for a really good card. You know, Whittaker versus Khamzat, whoever wins at that is going to get the next title shot. And, you know, whoever puts on the good performance, Izzy might come up and say, look, you know, I'm going to come in back in the game and, you know, see who I'm going to fight. But if Izzy's going to come back, I think he needs to go and beat the number one contender, whoever that's going to be. That's going to be cool. Just get himself, you know, relaxed, get himself back in the game. And then he's going to go back in there and go for a title shot. Boom, whatever. And then, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But look, I know I'm talking about me.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I feel like we're just going around in circles here, but I appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in. And enjoy the bevies, my man. Enjoy the bevies. What a call. Yeah, I mean, we just kind of touched on 85, man. Like, Sean Strickland's already booked. He's fighting Paulo Costa 5 rounds in the co-main event of 302. So he's booked. Cannonier is also booked. He's fighting, well, not 100% official, but it appears that the UFC is working on Cannonier versus Nasruddin Imavov in the main event of UFC Louisville. Told like not all is done there. So, which is why that hasn't been announced. But that's the fight they want for that card for some reason. I mean, when I think Louisville, Kentucky, I think, boy, we got to get Jared Cannonier and Nasruddin Imavov for 5 rounds, right? I'm sure you're all thinking the same thing. Yeah, we got Whittaker, Khamzat. Izzy's going to fight DDP. It's like you have to do it now. You cannot wait any longer. You have to do it now. And both guys want to do it in Perth, so just fucking do it in Perth. Like, let's do it in August. Done. UFC 305. Let's go. Get these two in there, and let's have a good time. Drinkus du Plessis against, like, any of these guys is so fun. Drinkus versus Khamzat is fun. Drinkus versus Strickland, we've seen it, but I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Drinkus Izzy is going to be super interesting because of the heat there. Like, even Drinkus versus Paulo Costa is fun in its own sort of chaotic way. Like I said, like, middleweight is not lightweight. It ain't bantamweight. But it is the money division this year. Like, there is a lot of money to be made in the 185-pound division. There's tons of really interesting fights and headliners and pay-per-view main events and all sorts of things you could do at 185. Bo Nickel, as you mentioned. He's coming up. You say he's going to get fast-tracked. I don't think they're going to fast-track him. I don't think they need to, like, I think they're going to kind of, they'll give him, equal steps up every time. like Cody Brundage was a step up from Val Woodburn and Jamie Pickett. But like, we will find out if they are going to fast track him. I said, you know what? Let's just see what the man has. Let's throw him in there with GM3, litmus test. You beat Jeremy Mearshart, like you're a top 25 dude. You're a top 20, 25 guy. And then we can go from there. You miss some other names. Anthony Hernandez. Man, I wish this man could like stay healthy. He was supposed to fight Roman Dolidze at UFC 301. Off the card. Suffered an injury. He's hoping to fight later on this summer. So, yeah, middleweight's fun. You know, I said it's going to be a top three division for the UFC this year. So there you have it. All right, we got to go. Thank you all very much. No show Thursday, as you guys know. We have shifted gears a little bit. So we're not going to do Thursday. Thursday is for BTL. So we'll have a BTL on Thursday, and then we'll be back here on Friday, and we'll do another show here. So thank you all very much. You're all wonderful, and back on Friday. Appreciate you. Have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.